Welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams. And today on the show, we got Daniel Stelter and Lulo Reinhardt. If you don't know who Lulo Reinhardt is, he is a magnificent gypsy guitarist. And that's using the term lightly. He has his own style. I'm sorry, I'm burping on air. But I'm trying to do it as quietly as possible. I'm really sorry, guys. That was disgusting. It's just, I'm eating a lot of vegetables these days. I'm taking care of myself. I've actually got like a little, I think I can kind of see like a little six pack going in. I'm getting cut, folks. That's right. And just in time for the summer. But guess what? I could have done this episode a little better if I could have spoke some German. And you know how you speak German? I'll tell you how you speak German. You go to rosettastonepodcast.com/insider. You don't go to rosettastone.com. No, no. That's a terrible porn site. You don't want to be involved with that stuff. It's rosettastonepodcast.com/insider. Go there and you can learn the language of your choice. I did German level one. I don't remember any of it, but I didn't stick with it, and that's on me. Right now, if you go, you can get deals on subscriptions. You can get a 3-month subscription for $18 or a 24-month subscription for $6.99. Now, granted, these subscriptions are you pay in full at the beginning, so I don't really know why that's called a subscription, but it's, you know, you save some money. I remember Rosetta Stone, you had to buy it. It was really expensive. Then it would be outdated, and you'd have to get the CDs. I don't have a CD-ROM anymore. This is great. You know, you subscribe, you try it out. And then, you know, you see what you, it looks like you can access it on all your devices. And if you order within the first 12 minutes, you save even more money if you go to rosettastonepodcast.com/insider. We are also sponsored, of course, by the magnificent Simon Powis and his magnificent website, classicalguitarquarter.com. You can go there and get online lessons from Simon, or you can listen to his podcast, or you can peruse a lot of the written materials and video tutorials that he's got going on there. That's classicalguitarcorner.com. Simon, let's hang out. Let's play a board game or something. I miss you, buddy. All right. We are also sponsored by savageclassical.com, S-A-V-A-G-E, classical.com. That's savageclassical.com. You go there and you get the guitar of your dreams from Richard Sage. You tell him Big Diaper Brett sent you. All right, it's over there in Bayshore, New York, where he can send you a guitar to try, and you can return it for free. I'm not sure about the shipping, but, you know, you don't have to keep it. That's what I know for sure. Anyway, savageclassical.com, folks. Visit it today. What? No, what's this chat? No, it's a group chat. Okay, let's turn the old Wi-Fi off. Group chat with my brother and 4 people. It looks like a comic book cover. Oh my gosh. These people are so chatty. I don't want to get involved. That's why it's a group chat. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, guys. I had a terrible week last week. It was insane. So the week itself was just sort of an emotional roller coaster for one reason or another. And I don't want to bore you guys with this shit anymore. You know, and I also don't want to talk about dating because I don't want to hurt anybody. And I don't know. There's a lot going on. It's all very sensitive material right now. But I had a bad week for that reason. And also I was just working a lot. On Friday I got up, I had an interview for a second grade teacher. As a second grade teacher, believe it or not, this guy is maybe going to be a second grade teacher. And I'm actually really good. I'm really good with kids. I love kids that age. I think it's just the best. And they were just so wonderful. So I went in there, taught a couple of classes, demo classes for the people there. Charter school up in Harlem, really well run. I'd be proud to work there. I don't know if I got it though. I don't know if I'm what they're looking for. So I had to get up at 5 a.m. on Friday to prepare for that. Did that at 8. Then I had the guitar ensemble at the school that I've been teaching at for 10 years. Those kids gave a great performance of Habanera from Carmen, arranged for guitar. That was a lot of fun, but I'm pretty tired at this point. And then I had to go teach a bunch in the Upper East Side. Then I had to go, and I was at Taqueria Diana, Metropolitan Avenue, Williamsburg, New York. I was there from Friday to basically Sunday morning, to the end of the shift on Saturday. It was just insanity. And it was just a lot of work, you know? And then this one girl asked for my number, and I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, she was sweet enough, you know, cute. So she asked me for my number. I gave it. Sunday, she calls up. She's like, let's go rock climbing. So I have to go rock climbing. I mean, I don't have to, but I thought, oh, this is nice. She planned a date, you know. And so we had a nice time. I'm not really interested in it or whatever like that, but we rock climbed, and I did a pretty good job. I mean, I got to the top of things. I was lifting myself up. I've been taking care of myself. I'm going to the gym every day these days. But you know, it's just a mess out there, folks. And you want to talk about how there's 8 million people in New York, and you know, at least half of those are women. Yeah, well, and at least a third of those are people on walkers or people that are babies. Now, I don't want to go out with babies or with people with the tennis ball walkers. That's just out of my wheelhouse. I'm not interested in that. So if you take that pool and you shorten it, then you shorten it even more to eligible people, you know, people that aren't in relationships. Because the thing is that if there's an attractive person walking down the street that, you know, or a person that's got their shit together, or a person that, you know, is witty or whatever, I have found that those people are in relationships, you know? It's, I mean, you know, and if you're sitting there going, well, I'm not in a relationship, well, you know, take a look at yourself. So, you know, it's like, and that's happened a lot, where I'm like, oh, this person seems like okay, you know, and nope, taken. There was one that was like, well, I'm married, but I'm in an open relationship. And I was like, well, that's disgusting. And no offense to any of you who do that. It's just, I don't get it. And she's sitting there going like, yeah, you know, it was my idea. I got married when I was 26, and I never had an opportunity. Well, fuck your opportunity. You got married. You made your decision. That's that. What? This is ridiculous. These people running around looking for... what exactly? You're gonna have to settle for somebody, or you're not, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm great. So yeah, they have fun time. When they're hanging out with me, they're having a good time because it's like because I'm a fun little date, you know, or I'm a fun guy. If you get to talking to me at the bar, it's fun, you know. You're going to have fun. I'm at the bar. I know the bartender. You know, I got a little game we can play. Or, you know, I don't know. I can keep up. But I am... no. Nobody's really, you know, broken my little shield wall that I've formed around myself. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think? Write me. Tell me what you're thinking about all this. Anyway, we've got Daniel. You know, we can talk to him. This is the Elnora Festival. I know that I haven't done a lot of interviews, new interviews. You know, we had Fabio Zanon on, but, you know, we've got the New York Guitar Festival coming up, though. We got Sharon Stone, Adam Del Monte, Pepe Romero, and I believe it's pronounced Marija Temo. So hopefully one of those people will come on the show soon. As far as the New York Guitar Society, they had a couple of new guys that were going to the Salon Series that I tried to reach out to. I didn't hear anything back. So that's what's going on with that as far as the interviews are concerned. And then Manus comes up in the summer. So we'll have some new ones coming up here pretty soon. But bear with me and be patient. We're going to have more and more classical guitarists coming on the show as we work our way towards the summer and into the spring. I appreciate your patience. Again, you know, if you thought about trying Rosetta Stone, this is the time to do it. That is rosettastonepodcast.com/insider. That's me. All right. Do it today. You can also donate to the show. You can become a member of the show. It's only $5 a month. It's not a big deal. You can afford it. If you can't afford it, you need to take a good look at some of the decisions that you've made. and start making the changes that'll create a more positive financial future for yourself. I can afford $5 a month. I do it for the British History Podcast with Jamie Jeffers. I think it's magnificent. It's just great. I love it. I'm on episode like 190. So I do it for him, and he's got it set up like that. It's not a big deal. I don't feel it. I don't even think about it. And I know that I'm supporting him, you know? All right, so go to brettwilliamsmusic.com, the podcast section to the right. Donate a large sum or just become a member or donate a small sum. I don't care. But I really appreciate anything you can do. All right, guys, let's get on with the show. From Germany, Lula Reinhardt and Daniel Stelter.
And you seem more like a classically, originally classically trained guitarist.
Yeah.
You still have a, you don't mind me asking how old you are. How old are you?
I'm 40.
I'm 40.
Wow.
1977.
1977.
Or yeah. Whatever. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
But as far as that's concerned, you're 40? You look young.
I know. I look young. Everybody
says that about me, but you look younger.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
You look 10 years younger than I look. All right, that's good. So you look 20 and I look 30. That's what I want to say. Okay, so anyway, but you still have, you still have a classical guitar.
Yeah, I have a classical guitar, and it's exactly like you said. Mm-hmm. I learned
classical
guitar, mm-hmm. and I also learned maybe at the age of 10.
Yeah,
my older brother had an electric guitar, and so I play a lot of electric guitar too. And yeah, I think I'm on both.
You play a lot of electric, so your thing is classical and just sort of jam band.
Jam, so this kind of improvisation and how to.
But not necessarily an organized modal, jazz thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I studied jazz in Germany. You can study jazz,
right?
Like in New York or.
Right. Yeah, well, that's where I'm from. That's where I'm coming from, is New York. So that's the thing, is we got the jazz and the...
Yeah, so I think it's a mixture of all. But I have a different background than Lulu. It's exactly like this.
Yeah, and you're... we'll go back to you afterwards. Now, Lulu, you are obviously trained. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you've obviously have been through some sort of classical...
Yeah.
Some sort of thing, but it seems like you also have... Many, many years of developing yourself at its base, a gypsy flamenco guitarist, but a completely developed flamenco guitarist as well. Like you got it down.
Yeah, so. But I have to say, I'm not a gypsy flamenco guitar player.
Okay, that's not what I will say. That's not what you are.
No, it's not what I am.
You do your own thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I started with gypsy swing when in the age of 5. Playing Django Reinhardt's music. Mm-hmm. My father was teaching me. And we had this famous cousin, Mike Reinhardt. Mm-hmm. He's 5 years older than me, and he was 10. In the age of 10, he became famous. He was a TV star.
Oh, wow.
He was playing with big bands like Max Krieger, famous big band in the 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. And so, my father was teaching me in the age of 5 until 7. And then my father was over with it, you know, because he wasn't a great guitar player. He was more like a singer, bass player, just played rhythm guitar.
Right.
So and then I went next door to my cousin Mike,
right,
who was 5 years older, and he needed like a rhythm guitar player.
Yeah.
And he showed me all the Django stuff, maybe 200 songs from Django.
Yeah.
So and that's how I grew up with rhythm. And what I play today is like rhythmic solo guitar.
Rhythmic solo guitar,
you know,
yes,
which is based on rhythmic and bass, because I played bass also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a pure solo guitar player. It's a mix between rhythm, bass, and solo.
And what's your experience with solo guitar playing? With have you performed Bach suite on stage?
Bach?
Yeah, but yeah, have you done that?
No, never.
So I just want to know, because I want to know exactly your, because it seems like you can do these things. But I'm just trying to get a better feel for your background. So your background was starting out with gypsy jazz.
Yes, absolutely.
What's your relationship with Django Reinhardt from like a familial level? Is he your great uncle?
He's my great uncle, okay. Django Reinhardt. And
so it's sort of a distant relative, but you share the name.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But he was my uncle, my great uncle. He was a cousin of my grandfather.
It was a cousin of your grandfather. So that's what a great uncle is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, the other thing about it, too, is like we were saying the name, until I saw you, and until you actually explained it to me,
yeah.
Reinhardt's not a French name. He just happened to live in French. Reinhardt is clear. Reinhardt.
It's a German name.
It's a German name.
It's a German name, absolutely.
So it's so you're German. He's like he's the turncoat. He's the French guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Django.
No, Django's not the French guy. Django was born in Belgium.
Was he really?
He was born in Belgium.
Okay, because
and I have to say, no gypsy is a German.
No gypsy is a German.
Yeah, because we are gypsies. As we are Sintis, and we're just born in Germany.
Yeah.
That's a different, you know. We have German passports, but we are not Germans. Mm-hmm. If you have a German passport, of course, people call you a German.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm still a Sinti, a gypsy, 100%.
No, what makes a gypsy a gypsy?
Because we are like a pure tribe from India. It's like native Indians here in America.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Native Americans, they are not Europeans. They are not Scottish. They are not English. They are Native Americans.
Right.
And we are native gypsies. We are from India. We left India 1,100 years ago. So, and then we come back to the name. Since 600 years, a gypsy came to Europe. 600 years ago,
yeah.
And when they came to Germany in 1407,
uh-huh.
They came to Germany first time, and the Germans were afraid because they saw a group of 40 black people, a gypsy were dark, you know,
yeah.
And they were thinking maybe they're Turkish spies.
Yeah,
you know, from Turkey.
Yeah, because they're Mongolian. The Ottoman Empire, the Ottomans, and the
or Mongolian. Because they had trouble with Mongolia and Turkey at that time.
Yeah.
So, and then the king, there was King Sigismund at this time. He said, bring those people to my palace, you know. And so the king was asking them, where are you from? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And they said, we are musicians. We work with animals and blah, blah, blah. And the king said, okay, if you want to stay in Germany, then you have to change your name, because the real name from Reinhardt was Daly.
Daly.
Daly, like New Daly.
Oh, Delhi. Okay,
Delhi.
Right. Yeah, right.
We say Daly.
Mm-hmm. No? Yeah.
Daly was the name from the Reinhardts. And the other gypsies, for example, Rosenberg and other gypsies like Weiss or Schmidt, they had different names, Indian name, like Patel, you know, all those Indian names. And then the king, or maybe some people who were working for him, gave us a list of names. Mm-hmm. You know, there was Reinhardt, Meyer, Schmidt, Müller, blah, blah, blah. And my family said, okay, we take Reinhardt.
Yeah, Heart of the Rhine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. I would take that name, too. But you have a different name. You're Stelter?
Stelter, yeah.
Stelter. And what's... That's German as well, right?
I think it's a German name,
like
yeah.
It's
a common name. So
you can't do what he does. You can't
I can't go all the way back like he...
Yeah.
So
it's tough stuff. But that's really interesting, and I really need to read more books, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I had no idea gypsies were from India originally. Yeah. It's a Jewish situation? Is it like a Jewish tribe, or what do you call it? Like a Semitic tribe? Is that what gypsy stuff is too? Or
I don't know. But
it's not religious.
You know, yeah.
It's cultural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In India, we have maybe 5 or 6 tribes left from gypsies. You know, in India.
Why didn't I know this? Why don't I know this?
Yeah. And
did you know this?
No, I know it because he told me, but yeah. I learned it from him.
Okay, so. Good. So I feel really okay.
Yeah,
so I feel okay.
Yeah,
I can tell you a little bit of the story. When they left India 1,100 years ago, they went to Egypt first.
Okay, Egypt.
Egypt.
Yeah.
So and that's why the name Gypsy from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy.
Gypsy Egypt. Is an Egypt.
Egypt. Gypsies. That's why the name in English.
This is so important to us as guitarists to learn this.
Yeah. Then from after 300 years, they left Egypt again. They went to Armenia.
Armenia.
Uh-huh. So and then 100 years Armenia, and then they split Sinti and Roma. They were two folks of gypsies. I'm a Sinti, and you and those gypsies from Balkan, they are the Romas, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have Roma and Sinti, like South American, West American, you know, but both American, you know.
Yeah.
So then they split, and my folk, the Sintis, they went over Russia, Ukraine, Poland to Germany.
Yeah.
And the Romas went straight to Balkan. So that's how it was.
That's how it split.
That's how it split.
And then where did the you're a Sinti, and the Sintis just went kind of more north and sort of spread westward? Is that what happened?
They went over Russia, you know, this way.
Oh, they came,
Russia, Ukraine, Poland, Germany, Holland, Switzerland.
Well, how do you identify with a culture like that that is so, I mean, is that culture, other than just, you know, with the guitar and stuff like that, is it really a relevant situation? Like, do people still celebrate being a gypsy outside of festivals and, you know, Django fests and stuff like that?
We have thousands of Django fests.
But what other than that, what does a gypsy do? Like, what does it mean to be a gypsy? On a day-to-day basis.
Is today, gypsies, today, of course, we have special food, meals, and
Hungarian stuff is all kind of like gypsy stuff, isn't it?
Not really.
So gypsy is not the same as, what do you call it with a B? Bohemian.
No.
That's just like a Czech thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to learn things. And also, I need to learn math, too, before you leave. Because I really failed. You felt the same way. Daniel, we were talking about your sort of guitar upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to college? Did you go through all the bells and whistles and stuff, too?
Yes.
Where did you go to college? Who was your first, you know, college professor?
So, it's a guy called Norbert Scholli. It's a famous Norbert Scholli, German jazz player, jazz player,
right.
Very, very, makes very special music.
Yeah.
He makes a mix of Balkan, he mixes Balkan and jazz music.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from him, so I studied there.
You studied classical guitar with him?
No, jazz. Studied jazz guitar with him.
Okay, so the classical stuff is from when you were a child?
Yeah. Exactly.
You study jazz. Do you know, you play a lot of electric?
Yeah.
So you play like electric on stage a lot?
Yeah.
So how many guitars do you have? Two?
No. Oh, I can't tell you now, but maybe 15.
15?
15 guitars, yeah.
Oh, man.
So I make a lot of, in Germany, a lot of, little bit like a session player. I play a lot for records. I need steel string guitars. I need nylon guitars. I have a mandolin. I have a banjo. I have Les Paul, a Stratocaster, a Telecaster. So,
what do you do as far as you know? Like, it sounds like you do, so you do session work.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that out there, you're doing that for like for pop music too.
Yeah, a lot of pop music, and for films. Now there's in Germany a new film in the cinema. I composed a lot for this film.
Oh, wow.
And I play a lot of guitars. So yeah, I make things.
What kind of you make things? What kind of where did you study composition? Did you study it, or did you just start doing it? Because I did the same thing. I just started doing it.
I started doing it.
Yeah.
I did not study composition.
Right. What do you use, Sibelius, or what are you working with?
I'm working Sibelius, you know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Sibelius and also have Logic, you know.
Logic. Oh, you do both.
Yeah. So sometimes I'm like writing sheets or something to record it directly with music.
I'm saying the hands, but like you might want to move the hands a little bit because it's big.
Okay.
It's picking up so much hand stuff. It's no big deal.
Okay.
I've had people in here just going.
Okay.
Just beat it. It's my fault for not saying it.
I make it on the guitar.
No, I usually say that's right. You're doing the. But we all are very expressive with our hands.
Yeah.
Like as guitarists, like we will come in here and we'll tap our fingers and that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's why we started.
Yeah.
We're a little fidgety.
Yeah.
As far as you did the jazz, but now you're doing this film composition.
Yeah.
How do you break into film composition?
No, it's.
Are you known as a pop sort of guy in Germany a little bit, or were you ever touring with,
yeah,
with like a pretty successful German rock band or something?
Yeah, I played with some pop singers.
Yeah.
There's a TV show in Germany with pop music, and this TV show has a band, and I'm in this band. So,
what's the name of the TV show?
Sing My Song.
Sing My Song. It's there come German pop stars and making music with us. So, and
the most famous German.
Yeah.
I have to say the most famous German pop stars.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun, and we arrange things with them. And
how did you guys meet? How did you meet Lulo?
I organized a concert in a church.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like a small guitar festival, and 5 days. And on 5 days, there played 10 guitar players, but solo, just alone.
Yeah.
And on every evening, there were 2 guitar players. One set the first one,
yeah.
The second set the second guitar player. And in the end, both guitar players had to play
together.
2 or 3 duos, so
yeah.
To jam. So this was the idea. This was the idea of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I played there, and yeah. Lulu played there.
But you chose each other then?
Is yeah, and then at the end of the concert, we jammed together.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it worked fantastic. So we had a very, it was like speaking to
an old friend.
Yeah, it was like speaking to an old friend.
And you didn't know him before that. How many years ago was this? When was this?
2 years, maybe?
2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And that at this place, we decided to play a concert together, just a duo concert.
Mm.
And from that point on, we play concerts in Germany. And so,
And the second concert, we recorded a live CD.
Yeah.
And who chose who? Who approached who? Did you approach Lulo, or did Lulo approach you?
What do you mean?
I mean,
with
like
approach?
Approach, like who was like? I don't know how the show worked, but it seems like at the end. So you guys, you guys actually just got together and started jamming.
Yeah,
is what you're saying. That it's
yeah.
simple as that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and so it's going back to Lulo. When you aren't doing this, when you aren't doing are you doing solo stuff? Are you working with a? With a group?
I have my own band, Lulo Reinhardt Latin Swing Project,
mm-hmm.
since 15 years now, 15.
Yeah.
Recorded more than 10 CDs.
Wow.
Have a 6-piece band, violin, double bass, drums, percussion, keyboard or piano.
Yeah.
I was in Australia 11 times with my band, and touring in the States also.
Yeah.
And since 2009, I play International Guitar Night. You know International Guitar Night? It's made by Brian Gore from San Francisco, and since more than 20 years now, Martin Taylor was playing there, Marco Pereira, and all the famous, also classic jazz.
Yeah.
And I played this show 5 times now, and I'm hosting the show now for 2 years. I was here in the...
No, that's okay. Don't worry.
I was here in 17 in the States. And this year I have a tour in Germany, Austria, Holland, Switzerland with Mike Chapdelaine. You know Mike Chapdelaine?
Oh, yeah, I know him, yeah.
Yeah, and Callum Graham.
How do you know Mike Chapdelaine?
I don't know him because IGN Guitar Night, they're looking for guitar players, and that's not my job.
Yeah.
So Herschel Freeman, this is the agent, you know, and Brian Gore, they're looking always for 3 different.
You might want to. That's okay. I told you to keep it on. I think it's still. It's like, is it an alarm?
I just turned it off. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
I didn't even think.
This.
I just, you know, if something happens, I don't want you to, because I know you've got these things all day.
Yeah.
You know, over here, I've noticed that with everybody, they're kind of carting you guys around through like a press circuit, and you can't. You know, I don't understand how you can have your phone off for every one of these. You have to. You have to have a life outside of this.
So International Guitar Night, it's an amazing thing. You know, they play always like 2 months in the States and Canada, England, Scotland, Germany. And so I play there since 2009 as a solo guitar player.
Yes.
So we play solos, like two pieces.
Well, that's how you guys met, too.
Yeah, then we play duos and quartets. You know. So, and I do a lot of things. I was doing two movies. One movie is about the Reinhardt family from 2012, like a documentary movie.
Yeah.
It's all about the Reinhardt family, you know, my family in Koblenz, where I live.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie. You can see it in YouTube. It's called Nevo Cielo. Nevo Cielo is New Time. Then I made a second movie in 2015 in Morocco. So this one is Desert Inspiration. So I compose also all this, the music for the movie.
Yeah.
But this is all about music. About Berber in the desert, nomads, culture, and that's what I do.
As far as, like, I mean, you seem to be the real student of history, right? I mean, that's something that you've been involved in.
Yes.
It's sort of like looking back into that and sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever share it on stage? Do you ever get vocal about this on stage? Or do you just sort of, like, do you tell people, do you educate people about, like, your culture?
And yeah, of course I do. And I was singing in a band also with my father, you know?
You were?
Yeah, of course, in the past. My father died 4 years ago, but we played together for more than 40 years.
Oh, really?
And just singing Romanes, Gypsy language. And,
yeah.
So I do many things, you know, playing with people from Morocco, from Syria, and refugees also in Germany. We have this problem at the moment, you know.
Right.
So, and then we all of us try to do something with those people, you know, and sometimes they have great musicians.
How does that work? So it's actually you guys do like some community outreach within the refugee camp, I'm assuming,
but camps, people are asking me also, you know.
Yeah.
For example, in Koblenz, my town, I said, please, can you do something with the refugees from Iran? You say Iran or Iran?
Iran,
yeah. For example, I play, I have a nice concert on the 6th of October with a lady from Iran. Her name is Arezzo Rezvani. She was really famous in Iran, mm-hmm. playing santur. You know santur?
No.
It's like a sitar.
But you hit it with mallets,
yeah,
little mallets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
She's incredible. She was famous in Iran, but they made
her leave.
Because they said women are not allowed to play anymore on TV.
What?
Yeah.
When did they do that?
Yes, just
recently.
Two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And she was a professional musician. She's only 29 now, and she was professional when she had to leave.
Yeah, because that's not that long ago. There's a guitarist, Lily Afshar. I don't know if you know. She played not that. I mean, but I'm going to say like 4 years ago she played on TV.
Yeah.
So wow, they outlawed women on television.
Yeah.
That country is so interesting because it has the people that I meet that come from it are so cosmopolitan and they're so you know what I mean. They're so
absolutely
almost like European.
Yeah.
Like a Turkish.
Yeah.
But yet the government is just insanely conservative. I guess that might be what's going on
it's
here.
It's a shame, I have to say. It's a shame. It's not far from us, you know. It's like from Germany, it's like 2 hours flight, 3 hours flight.
Huh? Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, that's true,
it's
I guess.
It's not so far.
Yeah, you guys are
let's say 4 or 5 hours to some places, but it's nothing.
Do you think you're the beneficiary of being in Germany? One of the things that, you know, it is really sort of the... It's on the other side of the gateway to the east.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, German culture wise, do you still feel like you're benefiting from the refugees in this case or the gypsies in the past? It just seems like Germany is constantly just absorbing all these different cultures that are trying to make their way into Europe, and then the music is reflecting that, and the art's reflecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to say something? That
is. Yeah. I think it's a big mixture. I'm also playing with a Sassspieler. You know Sass, the instrument?
Sassspieler?
Sassplayer. Player. Sassplayer. And
Sass,
yeah.
It's the Turkish instrument. You know?
So like as long as it plucked or bowed or...
Yeah, it's plucked. Has a very long neck.
I feel like I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very interesting to play with those people.
To mix
and to
styles,
mix. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's for me. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Do you ever work that stuff into the, I mean, have you ever tried to compose for that or anything?
Not really.
Because that stuff's all like improvised.
But you know the sound, and in improvisation.
Right.
And then sometimes I play it. Things like that I learned. So, but I never tried to compose this way.
Yeah.
But
Well, they might not even really, you know, I'm assuming know how to read music all the time. You know what I mean? Like a Zos, like on the Zos, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That might not be what the way that instrument's played.
Yeah, it's funny. So you can learn a lot of them.
Yeah.
From them.
So. For sure. Well, it gets in your head too, that sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that sound.
Different scales, yeah. Different sounds.
It makes you play your guitar differently.
Yeah.
That's what I did when I came back from Morocco. You know, I was in Morocco many times. And so now I'm composing stuff for India. I go to India in December.
You're composing stuff for India?
Yeah, for musicians there. You know Debashish Bhattacharya?
No.
He was playing here also.
Oh, okay.
Some years ago. And he was on tour with me with International Guitar Nights
in
the States. So I got to Calcutta and recorded a CD with him in December.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm working at home from... Because his daughter is singing also, you know?
And it's kind of traditional Indian music with you as well?
Gypsy meets India,
Gypsy meets India.
So my style mix, and I try to compose a little bit like Indian music, like gypsy music, and interesting. So we just gone to studio, 8 days, and poof. And so I can use the music also for my next movie, because I got to India, and I will show people where we came from. So I go all the way back to India. I go to Ukraine first, from Ukraine to Armenia, Egypt, and India. So, and I can use this music also, you know?
Yeah. That's it sounds like you're really, both of you are really in so many different careers, and that's something that a lot of guitarists can learn from, because that's sort of, you know, the state of the guitar right now for a lot of people is, you can't just go and just play guitar to make money. You got to go and you got to diversify what you're doing. You can't just be a classical guitarist, or you can if you're like one of four people. It sounds like you guys have a real, you know.
We have a lot of fun. This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
We have great fun together, you know, and everyone is different, totally different background, but it works together, you know.
Yeah.
You know how it is. Even if you do a session like 2 days ago, not the session where we never played together with Kevin Pride and Reza Abbasi, you know?
Yeah.
It just works.
Yeah. You know? Sometimes you can
speak, sometimes not. It's the same way, you know, when you do an interview, for example. Sometimes you can, or you lose words, you know?
Yeah.
And
all the time. Yeah.
And sometimes it just works like this.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. I think it worked okay today. You guys feel pretty good?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys would like to talk about before we go? The show will probably be on in, you know, probably a month from now or something. Mm. But is there anything that you'll be doing in the relatively near future? You're going to India. When are you going to India?
Maybe the end of next year, 18, maybe the beginning of 2019.
Is this part of a tour? Are you guys touring together right now?
We are playing. We are working for a tour for next year. We want to come back to the States.
So this is a one-off. This is, you're coming here, you're doing this, you're going back, chilling out.
Yeah. And I hope we come back next year with more shows
to
USA. I hope so. We're working on that.
Have you, Dan, how many, have you been to the USA a lot? Or
no, first time? For me it's the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm enjoy it a lot.
Did you go to New York or anything like that?
No. I just... never been here.
He's going to New York with me in January.
We
do like a showcase.
For the festival? For the New York Guitar Festival?
No, not for the festival. For a showcase for a tour.
APAP. You know,
APAP, yeah.
Yeah.
New York.
Well, that's, I know APAP, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I played there years ago also.
You guys will be doing the showcase?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that'll be good. Maybe I'll drop by. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm in Brooklyn. You guys should, yeah, definitely. We should go to coffee or...
Of course.
I mean, I drink. I don't know about you, but I do. You guys can have coffee and I'll drink. But I'll see you guys in New York when you visit. Thanks so much for doing the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, that does it for my time with the boys. I hope you enjoyed that. We've got one more El Nora Festival interview coming up, and then that's it. I'm going to have to start digging around. So hopefully the New York Guitar Festival will yield some stuff. Obviously, Manus is going to be coming up, and that I'll get some interviews that way too. So thank you for listening. And if you have some ideas about who you'd like to hear from, please write me at brett@brettwilliamsmusic.com. You can go to the iTunes page and you can see who I've interviewed there. And if there's somebody who hasn't come up and you know that they're coming through New York, or you know something about them, or you know that they live in New York, those guys are always great too. I know people have always said Michael Lorimer. Well, Michael Lorimer is hard to get a hold of. So is Sharon Isbin. Those are people that are hard to get on the show. But if you do talk to them, tell them, hey, I'd like you to go on Classical Guitar Insider. You know, that works too. And also make sure you donate to the show. It's how I survive. It's how we keep doing this. That's brettwilliamsmusic.com. And you can go, you can donate, you can figure it out. It's right there on the right-hand side of the page. Not the home page, but any other page. Podcast page, media page, any of those things. You just click. So any secondary page, you go and you can become a member today. That's $5 a month, guys. Come on. That's how much it costs for deli meat in a poor city. Okay? So get your act together. Bye.